Hello and welcome to Life Talk with Marietta podcasts. So it's Life Talk with Marietta podcast.com. And today we're talking about life stories and life lessons. And of course, I'm visiting my very good friend, Marian Gardner. Hello, Marian. How are you?
Good, Marietta. How are you today?
Good. And I do want to talk about a story that's been on my mind. And that's what today's story is all about. A young man in his 40s. Mm-hmm. His name is Joe, and he's been out in the workforce for over 20 years. He happened to be in the auto mechanic business. He's a great man, great work skills, really has his life all in order, is married, a couple of children, and he's really the best in the shop. So his employer loves him.
Oh, wow, I can see why.
Yeah. Joe is really the type, he's very laid back, kind of keeps away from others, and he just does his work. So he collects his paycheck at the end of the week, and he's had some great accomplishments. Besides having a wife and two children, he also has a house. So he really has been working very hard.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just the exception in his work. Because it's like a doctor, you just hear a motor and you know where the diagnosis is.
Right.
So, one day Joe woke up and he said, you know, I don't want to work for anybody anymore. I want to work for myself and maybe also have an opportunity to earn more money.
Okay.
So he has a little bit of money saved up and he has good credit. So he can, between some bank loans and some of his savings, he was able to afford an $800,000 startup capital.
Wow.
And got himself a location in the same town and hired three employees, three other mechanics, which were also very good.
Right.
And he started hung out his shingle.
Okay.
So, Joe's personality is really, he has a certain arrogance about him. His skills, his superior skills, work skills, really made him, there's nobody better than myself.
Okay.
So, other people pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
So now, Joe really has to work every single day. He's in charge over the employees. He has to interact with the employees and also with the customers, which he never had to do before.
Okay.
So that never came out.
Mm-hmm.
So Joe is challenged every single day and he's making some big mistakes because people that come to work, that are willing to work, that are, you know, excited about working, the way he treats them every single day and really makes them feel like little kids, like they don't know the trade.
Right, like they're inferior to him.
Exactly. So, also, he has no experience dealing with customers because some customers you got to nurse along. They want to ask you a lot of questions before you even get the job, they bring them the automobile
in. You have to gain their trust.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets very short with them.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time when Joe handles it, they never come. He doesn't even get the job.
It sounds like, Marietta, that he probably is getting short with them because to him, he's saying to himself, well, don't question me. I know what I'm doing. So that's where that arrogance confidence comes in. But it's not a good kind of confidence to have because that's going to turn off his customers who have a right to ask questions.
Right. Oh, absolutely. So also what I want to highlight today that we know, you and I know, people have great skills.
Yes.
So, but they keep it, they're keeping it kind of between themselves and the employer and the paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
So now that person has to go outward and is very transparent very quickly in his interpersonal skills that he's really very bad.
Yes.
And he needs the employees to get the work done. He needs the customers to be able to pay and run the whole place.
Uh-huh.
But he has certain mental and emotional patterns, and There's a great ignorance. He has very rigid thinking.
Mm-hmm.
He's not very creative. Everything has to be always like...
it's black or white.
That's right.
And there's no room for a gray area or some creativity.
Absolutely.
Or thinking outside of the box, because this is the way he's always done it and this is the way it's going to be done.
Yes. Now he's carrying those patterns into his entrepreneurship that he spent $800,000 and almost diminished his whole life savings, mm-hmm. but he was willing to risk that. There's a little bit of risk taker, a little gambler in him, right. A quiet gambler.
Right.
Right? So, a gambler that really doesn't take responsibility.
Uh-huh.
So we learned. So now, he's open for a few months, and two people have already quit.
Okay, so he's not really nurturing his employees. He's not really giving them a vote of confidence because he can do the job, and he does it perfect. But he's not looking at their skill set and giving them some positive affirmations.
Absolutely. And his attitude and thinking is, you're definitely not as good as I am, so you should do what I tell you to do. And that just from somebody who's experienced, they don't take that kind of leadership.
Right.
They just, it's wrong as well. So what happens is that Joe is losing customers.
Mm-hmm.
He has to dip and really exhaust all of his savings.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he only has one employee left. So between him and the other employee, they do the jobs that do come in.
Mm-hmm.
So with the last money, he's doing some advertisement, but it's just not cutting. So
right.
He can't meet payroll. He can't pay his mortgage. He can't pay his other bills. And you know what? The ball just goes to spiral.
Yeah, that's
goes
the
down.
Domino effect.
Yes.
So it's, you know, one bad choice with what he's doing with his employees and the customers, it has a consequence and sequel effect where now you've lost employees, and then you're going to lose customers, and then if you don't have the customers, you can't pay the bills. If you can't pay the bills, you can't stay open, and then you're going to start... It's going to start affecting your home life because then you can't pay your mortgage and feed your family, and it just spirals downward until, you know, you find yourself all the way at the bottom and wonder, how did I get here?
Exactly. Now, if you were to meet Joe through that whole process, now he's full of anger and he's blaming all the people around him. We already know he has no coping skills, and he plays the victim big time.
And that victim mentality is also a persecution complex mentality, where he thinks people are out to get him, they're out to cheat him, he doesn't have the trust he should have in his employees or in the customers that come in. He always thinks somebody's out to get him, sabotage his job or his business. And that is, he just exudes this negativity, and it isn't good because... it turns people off.
Right. But also for people that have had a great life, and he started off really great because he's a hard worker. He has, he's reliable. He's
mm-hmm.
really honest.
He's
he
a good
has,
work ethic, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
He has good savings. So he does show achievements. So how should he have coping skills? Because coping skills you can only get through when you go through what he's gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have any coping skills.
Yeah.
So now he's bitter. His wife moved out of the house with the kids. So he's going to have a bitter divorce thing on his hands. And who knows what else.
Mm-hmm.
He also is going through foreclosure. And now he starts drinking. Because he's definitely hopeless. And he's bitter. So he moves out of the house and starts living with a friend.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scenario.
Wow. So it sounds like, you know, it started out that he was really good at what he does. He has this ability that he's a master mechanic. He knows how cars run inside and out. He's confident in what he does. And so much so that he finally decides, you know, I think I'm going to open my own business. I don't want to work for somebody anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the big piece that's missing, even though he's so great at being a mechanic, with his hands and his mind and knowing all the intricate parts of a car. The big piece is the people piece. Mm-hmm. And before it was easy for him because he really wasn't dealing with the public or having to supervise employees. Now, when you have to transfer over into more of an administrative part of it, which is when you own a business, you are the head person running the company, so you have to deal with people complaining, people questioning you, people that can't pay the bill at the end of the day when they pick up the cars, people that come back and say, well, now I hear this squeak or that squeak, and what did you do to my car? So there's a lot of challenges coming his way, and he takes it on as a personal attack and thinking that people are attacking his integrity as a mechanic and him personally, when he knows that he's the best in the land. And how dare they question him? And the people I hire, I mean, they haven't a clue. I've been doing this longer than they have. So they get turned off because there's no room for them to grow. And he's not really nurturing their skill set. Instead of him pouring into them and walking alongside of them and caring for his employees, he's sabotaging them as well. Before you know it, the whole thing falls apart. He needs to really work on his social emotional intelligence skills, because as great as his mechanic skills are, it's not going to take him very far. And that's where he is right now. He's got to work on that.
A lot of people don't know that. People go and go to their accountants and they get fancy business plans and projection and all this stuff.
Yes.
No. It's the people skills. Because they're different for different industries.
Mm-hmm.
There are some industries where your people skills really don't matter that much because you're in the background.
Correct.
Take, for instance, a person in customer service.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't possibly imagine a person, somebody like Joe, that has the attitude, and we see it all the time in grocery stores, on the cash register.
Yes.
They're bringing their behavior, their mental attitude, like they're treating their own family.
Mm-hmm.
And they apply it over to the customer while we're standing in line.
Absolutely.
By just asking, could you check the price on this? Or can I have a coupon against this? Or is there a coupon against this product? Let's say the butter is on sale, whatever it is. So, and I see that more and more. So the customer service people, all of them, need those emotional intelligent skills.
Oh, that's such a big thing. You know, when I travel, I'm a people watcher. And I love to watch, you know, let's say I'm at a resort, I'm at the pool. I love to watch how people interact, the staff. You know, do they come over? Do they greet the people that are there? Do they say, hi, how are you? My name is Linda. What can I get for you today? Here, would you like an extra towel? Or, gee, let me get that chair for you or that umbrella. And I watch people's interactions with the people that they're supposed to be serving, because that's what their job is. And you can always tell the people that are there and they dread being there versus the people that have those people skills and they're so into what they do. By the time I leave that trip, I go over to the desk manager and I say, I want to write out a comment card because I want these people recognized. They go above and beyond. You could see even with bringing a towel, they do it with joy. You could see that when they interact with people, it's not a chore for them to go get a glass of water for you, even if you weren't supposed to get a glass of water at the pool. What can I get for you? What could I do for you? It's all in that attitude of people skills and service to others. And being able to do that, oh my goodness, that's how your customer service is going to expand. The people that you work with, like you go in a restaurant. I go back to restaurants because the waitress, I know her name. She knows what we like. Before we even sit down, she has all the things on the table that we usually request. And so she's paying attention. She's attentive to the customers that come in there. That makes my mealtime enjoyable. Those are good people skills versus you go in a restaurant, oh, what do you want? Oh, well, you should have told me you needed a spoon the last time I went to get you the fork. It's that attitude. And when people lack those people skills, it is not a good thing. I don't care how good you think you are at your job.
Absolutely. And we like to raise awareness, not only to the individuals that come to us for help, because we can definitely help, but also the companies. HR individuals need to be trained.
Yes.
So they can do the best for the company and set the tone. It's about setting the tone.
That's correct. It's a culture that you involve. Yes.
Yeah. So I can think of a company where the culture is really where each link, and what I mean with link, and I know you know what I'm saying, but with each link, with each department, they don't talk to one another.
Oh, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So now you start with one link, but you as the customer, you need to go through the end to the end process of what you set in motion, which may mean you have 6 to 8 links to go through. Now, the first link is supposed to push it all through for you, and the person doesn't do it. Because they're constipated. I call it a constipation.
Oh, that's a good point.
Mental constipation. Yes. This is a true story.
Yes.
So, and being in a situation where you're also in sales and you don't have communication skills, it's the way you think.
Right.
You say nothing. How in the world can you be in customer service not owning superb communication skills? If you don't have superbness yet, you'll get there. But you gotta, you cannot be not saying anything and be in sales, and you have to do customer service. You have to be able to communicate, and also you have to have the courage when you take the order and something goes wrong, you better have the courage for the customer.
That's right.
To go to link 2 or link 4, whatever whatever you need to do to get it corrected. And furthermore, it is your job when you're in sales and for the customer, you're in charge of, you have that responsibility to get to the end result.
And follow through.
That you understand the system. How it's actually being processed through the system.
Yes.
And if you don't, I would have never hired you.
You know, Marietta, the other day, this is a true story. I was in Macy's, and I went in there, and they were having a sale on boots. So I found 2 pairs of boots that I really loved. And the girl brought them out, and I said to her, oh, I love these. I tried them on, and they were perfect. And the other pair, I said to her, these are going to be a little hard for me to put on. I said, I might need some help. I said, if you can help me get them on, then I'm sure if they feel good enough, I'm probably going to buy them, because they were a little difficult the way they were fastened and all of that. So she comes over. You could tell by her body language with this facial feature of just like stone cold. She comes over and she literally throws next to me a shoehorn on the seat. I thought, wow, that was the message. In other words, do it yourself. I'm not helping you. So I didn't even bother. I took the one pair that I went over, and then I said to her, you know, I said, I probably would have bought the second pair had somebody come over and given me some assistance, some customer assistance, but that's okay. I'll take these. In the same store, when I went in, I said to the lady, gee, you know, it would be nice to have a cart, because I'm going to be buying a lot of things today. And it really would be helpful. I know you don't have carts here, but once in a while I do see one. This lady said to me, oh, don't worry. She says, you know what? Stay right here. Let me look around. She says, I think I recall where I might have seen one close by in the front of the store. I'm going to take a walk, but you wait right here. I'm going to help you. Not even 5-6 minutes went by. Don't you think this lady came back with, she didn't, it wasn't her job. She was, she had a counter job behind purses that she was selling. And she went all the way to the end of the store and brought, I said, well, aren't you nice? She says, it's my pleasure. I thought, wow, I wish a store manager could see that. She went out of her way to accommodate me. And I thought, what people skills that was. She could have said, sorry, I can't help you. That's not my job.
Yeah. I think it's a natural mindset that I have, that I always zero in on the culture, and I think you do the same.
Yes.
And these some of the big department stores where the help that they hire, the individuals, they're on a paycheck. And
they need training.
They need training, but they can also hide. Oh, yes. And it's not till we say something as customers to the manager, to the Correct. Floor manager, department manager. I have done that with Macy as well. So I will not be treated like that. Same with when I go to the grocery store, just checking out.
Yeah.
Anything where I get an attitude, mm-hmm. I have a problem
yes.
with. And you shouldn't really be working there. I don't care what your situation is at home. You will learn when you're being let go. You will learn from that. You must.
Absolutely. Your attitude determines your altitude. And it's just going to say where how far up you're going to go. And if you have a poor attitude and you have an attitude where, you know, you dread, you don't like what you're doing, then don't do it. That's not the job for you. You have to throw yourself into something you're going to, it's not a job. It's going to come to you like you love what you're doing and it becomes a part of your life, a passion that you have.
Yeah. Another story which happened to me last week with my car, you know, for a while I've been driving and I said, you know, I really don't see well at night. It must be my tinted glasses that I wear.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have to drive with the high beams. It never occurred to me to get out of the car while the car is running to check if the what's up with the headlights.
Ah.
It never even occurred to me. Sure. All the different things that I have to think of, it never even did. So, okay. It's all right. So, I noticed that one headlight was out. I didn't even go in the back because you have to be on the brake, which I wasn't. So, okay. So, I called a fellow up in Monroe, and he always hits me. By even just talking to me, it's $90 an hour. Just like you go to a therapist, right? $80. You make one step in through the door, you're $90.
Yeah.
So I said, this with the headlight and this. Oh, come in, we're going to help you. And I said, no, but that's too expensive. And what do the bulbs cost and all of this? And, you know, some of them are 40, some of them are 90. But come in, I'll help you. You know, that's okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. But I learned something from my granddaughter. If you don't know something, which I've never done before, how stupid of me, ask Google. Because we've been making fun of the Google University, that yes. people believe everything exactly. Google University. So I asked something with the headlight, what does it take for car so-and-so model and everything.
Right.
Sure enough, it comes up at on YouTube, a video, how to exchange the front bulbs for such and such models. Right. I said, oh. That's good. So at least I had an idea and where to actually, yes. like I would do it myself. I wouldn't do that. Anyway, found out where the nearest place was. I think it's Auto Tire or something in Bridgeport, mm-hmm. Main Street, whatever. So, and I remember they replace batteries. They actually physically remove your old battery and put a new battery in.
Wow.
From in that store, right?
Wow.
So, okay. I drive there 7 o'clock at night, walked in, and that man and another, the other, she was a lady, so there were just a couple of employees in there. Boy, were they sharp. They were sharp. They knew exactly, okay, and with enthusiasm, oh, that's number so-and-so and this and that, and they come in packs of two and this and that. And wow. And the lady said, his colleague, I'll put it in. I said, oh, you do that? Yeah, she said, oh, it's not a big deal. So they came out, they looked at everything. He took the bulbs out. It was not a big, nothing was a big deal.
Wow.
So went in, bought everything, and the woman put it in. Put the backlight, I had one out too in the back. Can you imagine?
Oh my gosh, so the woman did.
You know, so, but I know now, so there's a little bit of truth about with the Google. Ask Google. There is, so you have an idea.
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of just asking people.
That's right.
Because right away, like this guy with the $90, they, you know, this would have cost me at least $250.
Oh, I know. My husband had to go, we had to go bring our car in. Because there was a recall on the airbags. So when we went to go bring it in, the man said to my husband, you need an entire brake job. And that'll be $1,000. And you really need to get it done like right now. So my husband, knowing my son is the mechanic, $1,000, says, that's okay. I'll take care of it myself. So we go back home, of course, and tell my son this. And he goes, oh boy. He goes, now how sad you would have been really taken, he said, for this brake job, if you didn't know any better. So my son, of course, took care of the car, and he said you would have been way overspending on that brake job.
The reason I even went back to this mechanic, because a few months ago I had a muffler problem, and it was really a portion of the pipe that goes from the front to the back. And it was just the front portion that needed to be replaced. Now, he told me, any other place, because I went to a couple of, actually, he was the third place, they sell you the whole pipe. They don't sell you portions of it.
Oh, wow.
And that would have been $1,900.
Oh, my goodness.
$1,900 it cost me, because he was able to take it off and, you know, melt, put it back to, put it together.
Right.
It was $360. So I had some trust in him.
Yeah.
But I have the feeling, my intuition, when you come in the door, that's when he has you. It's like the mouse.
Oh, yes.
Coming into, into a room, and once you're in, boom, the door closes, and I got you.
Yes.
In other words, I feel, I got you. I got you now. So that's the feeling I get, you know, and my trust isn't quite
right.
I know I'm in the I got you mode, so I got to watch. I got to hold on to my pocketbook.
Well, that's why Joe, you know, the person we were talking about in the story, he can't, he has to accept the fact that when you're working with the public, especially, there are going to be people that have trust issues, and rightfully so, because they've been burned before or scammed before. So he has to take all that into consideration. If he's going to be a good businessman and he wants to keep his customers and actually increase his clientele, he has to be very patient, very tolerant. He doesn't have to be a doormat, but he has to be tolerant, and he has to use good self-control, and he actually has to have some self-talk within himself to say, remind himself that, you know, these are people that don't really understand how the mechanic world works. And I have to be patient and just teach them in a way where they'll trust me. But if you bark at them, if you're short with them, if you're arrogant with them, you're going to turn them off, turn them away, and your business is going to go right down the tubes.
Yeah, so the lesson we learned today, never ever go into the people business if you dislike people, number one, or feel superior over people. If you have no business, you have no business being in the people business if till you get it, till you understand it. So you're shoveling your own grave. And what comes to mind, a lot of people are distrusting by right. We have to be cautious as customers, as clients. Even for in the insurance business.
Yeah.
When I first started in the business, I came across some people that were very distrusting and would actually tell me, we've had bad experiences.
Sure.
So, and Marion, I really took this to heart, because at the time, I took it as personal rejection.
Yeah.
And I made sure whatever I said to the people, that I would adhere to it. So this is where it comes from.
Yes.
I laid the foundation stone within myself. Whatever I say, whether it's about the product that is intangible, or about getting back to them, whatever it was, that was my foundation stone, because I didn't want to go through the pains that was caused by somebody else.
Right, yeah.
And my goal was to have absolute trust by my clients, and the people that understood that, they trusted me without, they would sign forms without me filling everything out. You know, it's about 100 pages you got to fill out and go through medical and all kinds of other information. And the signature, that was it.
Well, there's a really an approach to gaining someone's trust. And people can read you. They can tell if you're trustworthy or not. But it takes time to develop that relationship and to be transparent enough that they can feel that you're being a trustworthy person, that you're not out to get them or scam them. By being real, being authentic who you really are, and sharing with them your knowledge or your expertise in an area, but doing it in a way that's not like arrogant like Joe was, but doing it in a sincere way. Mm-hmm. And when you're sincere and honest, people are going to trust you and they're going to say, that's the person I want to do business with because I know they have my best interest.
Absolutely. So we can help with your career, with your entrepreneurship, with your job, whatever you want to accomplish in your life. It's not just your accountant that can help you with the dollars and projection and so forth. Of course, that's very important. But do you have the right stuffings? And, you know, it does not hurt. To the contrary, we're saving you thousands and thousands of dollars by really having a consultation with you. So for today, I want to thank you, Marion, for your time and everything, your input, your knowledge, your wisdom. And no, we will not send people to businesses that have poor or no people's interaction skills.
That's correct.
Absolutely not.
Yes.
Not us. So for today, if you'd like to contact us, please call 203-505-3660. Also visit us on the web, thehealingmindmagazine.com. So I'm Marietta Kammer. I spoke with Marion Gardner today. Again, thank you. And I hope you get our lesson and keep visiting our podcast channel. Thanks a lot. Have a great week.